You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Here in Southern Oregon and Northern California, wildfires are a constant threat. And as the wildfire season expands, questions about the driving forces behind so many wildfires and their intensity becomes more urgent. Joining the exchange to offer insight is Dr. Chris Adlam. Dr. Adlam is the Southwest Regional Fire Specialist with the Oregon State University Extension Service. He'll be the featured speaker tonight at the monthly meeting of Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, also known as SOCAN. The free program is from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Medford Public Library. Welcome to the exchange, Dr. Adlam.
Hi, Mike. Good to be here.
Well, wildfires have always been part of the natural ecology of forests, right?
Yeah, well, that's a good place to start, and I always like to start there because we need to have some context for what's happening. And like you mentioned, there used to be a lot more fire, actually, and this comes sometimes as a surprise to some people. But, you know, in the Rogue Valley, for example, where I live, the fires used to burn about every 8 years. So if you imagine how much fire that is, that's a lot of fire, right? So sometimes now we talk about how fire is increasing, and that is true over the last few decades. But when we take a long view, we can see that fire has always been an important part of our landscapes. And, you know, indigenous people lived with those fires and knew how to interact with those fires over that long period of time. And I think that we are challenged today to live with fire once again.
So what's happening now that's different from a century ago?
Yeah, well, climate, of course, is part of the answer. We know that the weather's getting hotter and drier. This means that vegetation dries out a lot more. It dries out sooner. It stays dry for longer. We have longer fire seasons that have lengthened by about 37 days. So that's a considerable amount. And so as a result, fires spread a lot faster. Once they start, they can get big a lot faster. The rate of spread has doubled in the last 20 years on the average fire. So that's really challenging firefighters to control fires. But there's a lot of other factors too, right? There are a lot of other factors. We've altered the way fires burn by removing fire from the landscape such that now a lot of organic matter, dead trees and shrubs and young trees grow up. And once that fire starts, it's got so much material to burn through that it gets really hot and it will burn in a very different way than the mellow fires that would have crept through the forest, you know, 100 and 150 years ago. We've changed our forestry practices. Often in some places, we try to pack trees really close together in plantations because we want to produce more timber. And of course, that's not really great if the fire starts in a plantation or spreads into a plantation. So there are a lot of different factors that are happening on the landscape that are changing the way the fires burn.
So when you talk about a plantation, I'm not sure I understand what that is.
Right. So, I mean, you know, when we look at a large landscape across Southern Oregon, Northern California, if you look at a satellite map, you can often see these checkerboard patterns, right, where we have private industrial forestry and then we have public lands. And anybody who's driven through this landscape can see this very different, right? And in some of these areas, the private industrial areas, we're trying to produce more timber, right? And so those trees are planted in a plantation setting, right? So they're very close together. They're all the same age. And, you know, that is great for productivity, but it's not so great, again, if a fire were to spread through that. The plantation will burn more intensely because all the trees are the same age. They're all touching compared to a more natural forest setting where trees are more diverse in age and size and tree species.
Well, it sounds to me like there's a small community of people who are engaged in forest management and land ownership. Can't they all just get together and come up with a comprehensive and cohesive strategy and agree on how to manage the forest collectively?
Yeah. Fortunately, we do have many examples of that happening. In the Rogue Valley, for example, we have the Rogue Forest Partners, which is a group that of agencies and nonprofit organizations and other groups that work together to try to address this at a large scale, right? And so they are following what's called the Rogue Basin Strategy. That is a plan that's really looked at what these forests would have looked like historically, how to make them healthy once again through targeted practices like ecological forestry, thinning, prescribed burning, and trying to work across that boundary of public lands, private lands, and even on a small scale, right? You take that same model down to a neighborhood level, and we have people even at a neighborhood level who are coming together in different ways. We have FireWise communities where people are helping each other just do work around their homes, right? We even have prescribed burn associations where private landowners are realizing we can't do this by ourselves, but if we work together, we could use fire in a good way to make the forest healthier by intentionally planning controlled burns and implementing them throughout the forest on private land. So these are just some of the examples that make me hopeful that even though it is a really big challenge now with climate change, we're seeing people having more and more interest in working together and finding solutions that, you know, might have seemed out of reach in the past.
My guest is Dr. Chris Adlam. He's the Southwest Regional Fire Specialist with OSU's Extension Service. He'll be the featured speaker tonight at the Medford Public Library starting at 6 p.m. Dr. Adlam, you're talking about collaboration, and that's good. Is that part of a network with the native tribes as well?
Yeah, and that's a good question. You know, it's very variable. I can't really generalize from one area to another. Tribal histories are varied across our large landscapes. But in many cases, yes, all of these agencies and organizations are working with tribes in different ways. And tribes are taking a real leadership role in some of this. If we look at the Karuk tribe in Northern California, the work that they've done is really exemplary in terms of planning for climate change and understanding the impacts of climate change on the ecosystems, on their livelihoods, on their communities, and working together to address those proactively. And they have been also leaders in fire, right? Bringing back the use of controlled burns and even trying to address difficult topics of what happens when a wildfire starts and it's in a remote area. Should we be automatically putting it out if it's not threatening anything? Or should we try to harness some of those benefits if it's under the right weather conditions to make our forests healthier and reduce risk for the future? So these are all some topics that tribes are very actively engaged in and frankly leading the way in some respects.
Well, that's good to hear. You mentioned that the tribes are responding to climate change. What's the difference between a shift in the weather pattern and climate change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, weather is what we can notice, you know, on a day-to-day basis, right? So the temperature and the wind on a given day, that is weather, right? When we talk about climate, we're talking about a pattern that is global or at least regional over time, right? And so, yes, some years it'll seem like the weather is really out of whack, and some years it'll seem like we get a reprieve. Honestly, this year, I felt that it's been relatively mellow, right? We haven't had as many extreme weather days so far in our region, but that's just part of it, right? This variation, it's not going to be extreme all the time. But on average, we know that we've doubled the number of extreme fire weather days. We are also losing the number of mild weather days on average, right? So those are the days, unfortunately, that firefighters are the most successful in controlling fires, right? So it's not just that the extremes are getting more extreme. It's that the mild weather days are also being lost, and we're getting into territory where it's harder and harder to control these fires for that reason, too.
And that's going to be costly. Last year, the cost of fighting wildfires in Oregon was $218 million. And this year, legislators are hoping we can pay for the rising cost of fighting wildfires with a number of different efforts that they're making. Is the change in climate making these rising costs inevitable?
The rising cost of fire suppression, you know, that's something that's not really new. We've seen the area burn increase, the intensity of fires increase, and the cost of firefighting increase all together for now several decades. And this is what scientists actually call the wildfire paradox. The more we try to put fires out, the worse they get, because we're allowing all of this material to build up on the landscape and fires get harder to control. And the worse fires get, the more we justify needing to put them out, right? Because, of course, we see these terrible fires on the landscape that are burning everything up. And so we want to stop that, right? And so it just becomes its own justification. And so, unfortunately, scientists are pretty clear that there is not really a way out of this. If we continue to increase our investment in putting fires out, fires are also going to get worse. So how do we challenge that? How do we try to change that? You know, that's going to take a whole societal discussion about how we can live with fire. These are not simple issues at all. But that's why I think it's important to look at what's happening on the landscape and have those collective discussions.
Well, I have about 90 seconds left. Last week, Oregon's request for assistance from FEMA through its Fire Management Assistance Grant Program was approved. And the funds are going to cover up to 75% of the cost in battling the flat fire, which is still burning across 22,000 acres in Jefferson and Deschutes counties right now. What are your recommendations for county and state officials who are really facing an increased risk of wildfires, but with limited funds?
Yeah, that's a hard question. You know, we are faced with a lot of difficult decisions and balancing short-term risk and long-term risk. But, you know, the thing about wildfires, it's a little bit different from other things that we call natural disasters, right? And the fires themselves are not really a natural disaster. They're a component of our landscape, and inevitably so. And in a lot of ways, they have benefits, right? These wildfires will have benefits for a lot of species. When they burn under the right conditions, not too hot, then they actually reduce the fuels in the forest and they make our trees more resilient to future wildfires. And so one of our real challenges is learning to appreciate that in under the right conditions, we can harness the benefits of those wildfires. Of course, it would be even better if we could be actively going out and thinning and using controlled burns. But if fire is going to be a part of our landscape, we have to understand what part we can allow it to play and how we can organize ourselves, our communities, in response to that.
Okay. And so very quickly, what do you hope your audience will walk away with after your presentation this evening?
Mm-hmm. Well, climate change seems like a really big issue that we don't have a lot of control over. But when we learn a little bit about why wildfires are burning the way they're burning and why they're causing those impacts, we can all take away something that we can do, right? Actually, there's a lot that we can do on our level, whether people are homeowners or forest landowners or just community members. You know, there's a lot that we can do by educating ourselves, and we can work then to use that knowledge to make our communities more fire adapted and our landscapes more resilient.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Adlam.
Thank you.
My guest was Dr. Chris Adlam. He's the Southwest Regional Fire Specialist with OSU's Extension Service. He'll be the featured speaker tonight at the Medford Public Library starting at 6 p.m. And before we close, I'd like to take a quick moment to say how much all of us here at JPR appreciate all of you, our listeners and supporters. You've recognized the real challenges facing public media nationwide and JPR directly, and you really stepped up to show how much you value our service to the community. Thank you. The challenges continue, of course, but we're very grateful for your ongoing support.